Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mission or confrontation?
Next question.
How about the optics of all this?
I mean, Next question.
I mean, from
Jimmy, I'm not going to talk about it, Jimmy. I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
I mean, that is a baseball question. That was, you know, about the baseball team.
All right. Anyone else?
I only want to Bob. We'll finish up here.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome a very feisty Joe Girardi and good for Jim Salisbury. Get him, Jim.
Way to hang in there, Jim.
Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. John Marks, Ike Reese. Well, Ike.
That is a baseball question.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah, no, he wants to talk about X's and O's and things like that. Ike, how are you? How was your weekend?
Johnny Marks, holla at your boy. Oh, man, weekend was pretty good, man. Pretty, pretty good, unlike the Phillies weekend, but mine was pretty good.
So here's my question, right? Does this happen in every city where the teams constantly give us contents, right? The Sixers did it for years. The Eagles have done it for years. It started with the Super Bowl. Now it's some off-the-field stuff. And now the Phillies with this, right? Like, so they have Scott Kingery out playing right field because Bryce Harper's hurt. They don't have anybody else to play. How does Andrew Knapp get hurt 20 minutes before the game? So then you literally have no bench. So if something happens and someone gets hurt, then what do? Oh, well, Scott Kingery ran into the wall and got hurt. So now you need to bring in Bryce Harper, who, like, he couldn't even swing. The one ball that I saw him throw, I mean, what did it go, like 10, 15 feet?
Yes.
Like, what are we doing? He's got a bad shoulder. This is the franchise. $330 million. Like, at that point, put a pitcher in right field. It doesn't matter, right? So you put him in. He can't even swing the bat. He's bunting. And on top of that, you're fighting with your starting second baseman in the dugout. And he has to be held back by Dusty Wotham. Way to go. Way to go, Phillies. Lose 2-3 in a spring training complex in Florida. How you doing?
Yeah, not good. Not good. And team is not good right now. And manager is frustrated with the way that his players are going out there and executing and playing, seemingly not knowing basic fundamentals of the game. Then you don't have guys that are able to meet the moment when they're expected to. And I mean, the thing with Bryce Harper, and we'll get into that more. I don't know if that was just some last ditch effort as Bryce trying to step up and take one for the team and go out there and play, even though he's not capable of playing. But man, if I'm John Middleton, somebody's getting a phone call.
So here's what it seemed like to me, right?
$330 million investment out there. If he's not healthy, he shouldn't be out there playing.
No way.
Especially not in a game in May that this isn't the playoff stretch run in late September.
No.
So I was a little surprised at that, but I don't know if that was driven by Bryce or Joe Girardi.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was Joe Girardi there, because he goes on the bench and you see him talking. He's animated with Bryce, and maybe what he's saying is, listen, we need a body. You don't even really have to do anything but go out there, and when you get up to the plate, try to draw a walk. I mean, he really wasn't swinging to try to hit anything. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess if he's going out there, he still has to throw the ball if it gets hit to him. He's playing right field.
And they got a hit to him.
It did. Well, by the way, Scott Kingery banged against the wall, so it's possible he could easily re-aggravate or, like, make it worse. It's a shoulder injury.
Oh, Bryce?
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, he wasn't going for anything 100 miles per hour. You see him chasing that ball down? He was jogging in the park.
So here's my issue. And Joe Girardi acted like that it was crazy to suggest maybe you put somebody on the IL since you have a team of banged up guys. Didi Gregorius last played when? And like, how is he still on the active roster? You're thin as it is. How are you not making a move to get a body up here? I'll answer the question. They don't have a lot of options down there in AAA, or at least guys they don't want to bring up. How's Mickey Moniak not coming up? At least you have a healthy body that can come in and swing the freaking bat. I'd put Vince Velasquez out in right field and at the plate before I put Bryce Harper into the game with a bad shoulder.
Hold on now. Putting Benny Velo out there, you're putting arguably our second or third best pitcher there in the outfield.
It's a good point.
Can't do that.
Ooh, boy.
It's a good point. You can rely on Vinny V, unlike Aaron Nola, the so-called ace, losing again on the road on Saturday, Ike. But, like, I mean, this – I freaked out after one of the losses and one of the bad series, and there was a lot of people that were like, dude, it's early. You're going nuclear for no reason. Calm down. I don't know how anybody can feel good about this team right now. They're thin in the bullpen. They're thin in the starting rotation. They're thin in the lineup. They just are across the board. And you look at the guys that they signed in the offseason, and I supported Dave Dombrowski as the GM. I thought it was a good hire. He's paid $7 million to Chase Anderson and Matt Moore, and they suck. Both of them do. Matt Moore actually has been okay in relief. $7 million, and you're not even getting anything for your investment. You're losing because these guys are bad. Chase Anderson couldn't even make it out of the second inning yesterday. Terrible. So, and now Scott Kingery. Scott Kingery shouldn't be on a major league roster. He just shouldn't be. You want to fix his swing? Get him down in AAA. He's cooked. He's totally cooked, Scott Kingery. He looks like a deer in the headlights out there at the plate and in the field. So, like, get somebody up here that can play.
Who?
I mean, Moniak's not going to be afraid to run into the wall. He's going to go up there and at least try to swing.
Yeah, we don't. No, listen. I hear you there. That was more of a rhetorical.
Yes, it was.
Who? But they just don't have anybody.
No, they
I
don't.
I mean, they don't have anybody in the minors. They don't have anybody on the bench. You start losing players to injury, you just become an even thinner team. This is what you have.
But you could have Matt Joyce back soon. Oh, great.
Yeah.
He's bad. He could be back soon. He sucks.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you overspend. You're still paying guys that can't produce for you. You have the fifth highest payroll in baseball.
And you're very top heavy.
Right. Yeah.
And it's clear.
Yeah.
You're very top heavy and it's clear. All right.
And you don't develop guys. You don't develop players in the minors. So
thank God for Nick Maton, right?
Yes.
I mean, geez.
The one bright spot of this season so far.
All right, so we take phone calls in the first segment, 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. Everybody still feeling good about this Phillies team? You want to rub it in my face? Oh, the ace, Aaron Nola. I know he only gave up 3 runs, but his ERA on the road, Jack tweeted it out, not very good. Another start that was okay. Not going 7 innings, giving up 3 runs. Sorry, that's not ace-worthy. But the Joe Girardi, so let's start. We talked about Girardi and Harper. The Joe Girardi Segura stuff. So Girardi is super frustrated after Saturday night's game because they're doing the same thing, bad defense. Like at some point, Joe Girardi's just going to have to realize that this is a bad defensive team, right? Like straight across the board, they're not good defensively. We've seen
it. Believe me, he realizes it.
Right. So he gets frustrated from Saturday night. So now on Sunday, early in the game, Segura makes it's a mental mistake. I don't know what he was thinking. He's thinking he's going to play it and go for a double play when he could have easily ran up and fielded the ball and maybe got a double play out of it. And it boiled over, and he went over and he said something to him on the bench. And I say, good. Gene Segura's reputation is just this, right? Like, and by the way, Gabe Kapler, what he should have done is what Joe Girardi did on Sunday, yesterday. It's what he should have done. Went up and got his grill. Get on the bench. Don't wait until the game's over to where emotions are, you calm down or whatever, and call him in the office and have a conversation. No, go up in the heat in the moment and say something. And say something to him and tell him you're not happy with how he's performing. And I'm glad Joe Girardi did that. Because Gene Segura needs to respond. Gene Segura needed too many mental mistakes. Mm-hmm. Right? And if Gabe Kapler would have done that last year or 2 years ago when all that stuff went down, maybe he would have gotten a response. Because the team did respond yesterday after that. And they almost came back and won the game. The problem was, there's 2 outs in the ninth, and Bryce Harper was up.
Yeah.
He couldn't. How fitting. So, I mean, I'm as frustrated with this team as I've ever been this year. And I mean, Scott Kingery roaming around right field. You don't have any players. You have your starting nine. That's it. Like, how does that happen? How do you not call somebody else up? What are you doing? 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Norristown. Mike, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo.
Terrible. They look awful. It's like the movie Major League. That's what they remind me of.
Yeah, except they got good.
Yeah, good point. They got good. They're not going to get good. The only hope that we have is that you see how mad Girardi is that he gets really lays really into them and they come out and start playing, but I don't think that's going to happen.
So you don't feel good about the Phillies?
Absolutely not. No, after this series, it's terrible. They're falling apart.
What about Joe Girardi and some moves that he's been making? We mentioned the Segura thing. Bryce Harper in the game yesterday.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I was like, he's already injured. He didn't come in, and they have him come in. It's ridiculous. Like, why would you risk that? Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, he's falling apart. The whole team's falling apart. He's been a big disappointment. Like, when he did with the Yankees, he was great. I thought he was going to bring grit, bring confidence to this team. He's been a complete disappointment so far. He really has.
All right, Mike, appreciate it. And then our buddy David Hale came in the game yesterday because Chase Anderson couldn't retire any batters.
Well, at least
and
it wasn't a tight spot.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like that's where he should be used, which is, our starter can't go two or three innings, so let's bring in David Hale. He promptly served it up. Scott Kingery's out there later on that's just two plays he misplayed in the outfield. I don't know what to say with this team. Just that they win. They win four in a row. Yeah, they're back. Lose 2 of 3. Win 2 of 3. Yeah, good series win on the road.
Yeah, I'm. You got to start looking at it like, you know what? They're fortunate to be, 21-20?
They're very fortunate to be 21-20.
I mean, that's the way you got to look at it, that they are fortunate to be where they are. I'm telling you, I look at this team, and I'm wondering, like, am I watching a spring training game? When I see the lineup, when I see who's up at bat, like, they don't have recognizable names other than to us who follow this team every day. And now we're getting into names that we don't even get to see on a regular basis. So how are they supposed to win with any consistency when this lineup looks like a spring training lineup half the time? It just does.
Yeah, and this weekend, since they were playing in a spring training park, it really felt like spring training. No, yes. It did. Chase Anderson goes one and a third. 8 hits and 7 runs. His ERA is now 6.96. How much longer can you go with him? I mean, yeah, you have Velasquez, Spencer Howard, down in the minors, Jack, and Spencer Howard coming back up.
Well, him and Chase Anderson are on the same day. So Spencer Howard started yesterday. Obviously, Chase Anderson started yesterday. Same thing happened last week, so maybe they're lining them up to possibly take over. But, I mean, Spencer Howard only went 4 innings yesterday. They haven't let him go past that. But he's been dominant, so I don't know. I would, but I'm not the GM.
So let me ask you this. When does this season, because at some point, whether we verbalize it, we internalize it, or what have you, but at some point we're going to readjust expectations for this year.
Oh, it's not.
Well, I mean, for you, it's already happened.
It's already happened.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
You
also had him in 90 plus wins to start the
yeah,
season.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I did.
But we have to. That and when I say we, I mean all of us, right? As fans, like when we look at this team, are we looking at the season as a developmental season? Because when he talks about Spencer Howard only being able to go 4 innings. That's not good. That doesn't mean he's ready to come up here and start every 5 days as your fourth pitcher and give you 6 good innings every night. If they start to worry about his pitch count and what he can do and they're still trying to develop him, then up here isn't the place to do it.
No, probably not.
Unless we're throwing in the towel on the season and saying this is a developmental season. Like as long as the expectations are playoffs and with the record being the way that it is, then these losses are going to frustrate us because we expect them to win. I'm just saying, looking at the product, I don't know how can we expect them to win more than 4 times in a week if we're lucky.
No, and like I'm not throwing the towel in on the season, but I also don't believe, like I think with what this team is right now, they're not horrible. This team's not a horrible team, but winning 2 out of 3, then losing 2 out of 3, right? Winning 2 out of 3, winning, losing two out of three. I mean, like you said, they're one game over 500. Mm-hmm. And maybe with this team right now, maybe one game over 500 isn't all that bad for what they are. But if you watch every game, if you watch all 41 games, it's maddening. It's maddening.
Yeah.
It's maddening. I mean, the manager getting into a shouting match with a player on the bench. I mean,
they still have the most wins in this division.
Yeah. Yep.
The Braves, I mean, the Mets lost three this weekend. The Braves lost one, or two out of three, I believe. So the Phillies are still sitting one game above 500. They and the Mets are the only two teams in the division above 500. Again, I know the losses don't feel good, and watching it is even more painful. But if I'm just comparing them to the rest of the league, the National League in particular, and even this division, either the glass is half full or it's half empty. Which way are we looking at it?
Yeah, empty. Empty? What about you? It's actually a great way to phrase it.
Right?
Because you're right. They're a game over 500.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is the same record, right? St. Louis has two more wins than they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Giants, the Padres, and the Dodgers have 24, 24, and 22 wins, so they're not that. I mean, San Francisco's 8 games over 500, which is crazy to think. You know, Dodgers are underachieving. The Braves are 3 games under, 2 games under 500. I think the difference with me is that when I look at that Braves roster and I'm like, they could go on a run where they could win, you know, 10 of 12 or 12 of 15 or 16 of 20, right? They could easily go on a run when they figure this out. But this team, does it feel like this is a team that can go on a run?
No.
They're 8-14 on the road. They're good at home. So if you have a nice long home stand, that's great. But then you got to go on the road.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Half full or half empty? It seems like you're saying half full because your approach is it's much more bigger picture than mine. Mine is another bad loss, another series loss, right. Mayhem going on. In the organization, no depth.
Mm-hmm. But here's, and you're right. You're right. But we end up at the same result, though. Right?
Like
I don't think they're making the playoffs either. But I'm saying, considering where they are, who they have on this roster, and I'm looking at the rest of the league, they aren't all that bad. Your point is they aren't that good and they aren't making the playoffs, and the Braves have the talent that they can go on a run that the Phillies just can't go on. I agree with you on that also. I agree with you on that. I'm just looking at it from an expectation standpoint and saying maybe I'll be, you know, fortunate where they are. You know, when I'm looking at this roster, they could easily be in fourth place, fifth place, but they're not. They're in second with the most wins in the division.
Half game out.
And if they can just get some guys healthy, who knows? Like, that's what I have to tell myself in order to stay locked in on the season and not give up on the season. But I'm also keeping my expectations realistic. So it doesn't bother me as much when they lose as much as I may come out the series saying, whew, thank God they didn't get swept. Well, at least they went 4 out of 5 in this 9-game road trip. It could have been 2-7.
Yeah,
right?
Like, all that's depends the way how I'm you're looking at it.
Yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, like it could have been worse.
We're talking 5-4, who knows, maybe 6-3. But when it's all said and done, you only lost one game, one game of ground.
Yep.
Jack, half full or half empty? How are you looking at them right now? They're one game over 500. It doesn't feel like it.
I just don't know what they're good at. Like, I look at this team how I looked at the 2018-2019 team where, like, they're in first place and everyone's like, well, they're in first place.
And no one believed them.
Yeah, but you look at them and, like, they suck. I mean, yeah. like they suck. I don't know. The defense is like, how is a Major League Baseball team this bad defensively? Like, it's still Major League Baseball. They've played baseball their whole lives. Like, I don't understand how it's not
and
getting
defense,
any better.
Defense should be the thing that comes natural and easier to them.
It's not that hard. Like, they make it look as, like, harder than it has to be. Like the offensive approach, I think, is flawed, but they like the back of the baseball card suggests that they'll turn around. But like, I just don't know what they're good at. I don't know what the Phillies – if I look at the Phillies, like, what can I hang my hat on that they're going to deliver a night-in, night-out basis? They were a top-six offense last year when Alec Bohm came up. Like,
yep.
We thought we were getting 5 to 6 runs a night. We're not getting that now. I think you can trust the 1-3, but, you know.
But even with McCutcheon was ice cold, and he's gotten hot. He's been a lot better. But the team's still doing the same thing, right? Like, because other guys – you know, Hoskins gets hot for a little bit, then he goes ice cold.
Yeah.
Then you have, you know, McCutcheon's actually going deep. Then he goes cold. And now JT's hurt again. See, that's the biggest thing that worries me with this team, Ike, is that Real Muto's been nicked up already a couple times, and Bryce has been nicked up a couple times. Didi has this big lump by his elbow that was the same elbow that had Tommy John. He's now missed 2 stretches.
Yeah.
And they didn't even put him on the IL. So they have nobody available yesterday because they're still trying to keep Didi in case he can play. He's nowhere near playing.
Yeah. You got Adam Aisley. He back yet?
Oh, he's back. He's in AAA. Yeah, he's back.
He's not ready to go yet. JT. Yeah, you got guys, man. Guys are down. Guys are down on this team. And, man, you can only go so far with the Brad Millers and the, you know, we love Nick Maton. He's doing an awesome job. But how long is that going to keep up, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You can ride him for right now. What you want to do is get wins as results from what he's doing right now, as opposed to just wasting his hot bat. Because you know his bat eventually is going to go cold.
Oh, yeah,
just
sure.
Just is, yeah.
Yep.
It just is.
Yep. You're fortunate. You're right. You're fortunate to get production out of him now.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. We'll get to your Phillies calls on the other side. Are you looking at this team with a glass half full approach? Or is it half empty? Eagles made a signing today. Very interesting. We'll give you our thoughts on that around 2:40. That's coming up right after this. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Defense was really shoddy tonight. Do you think they were – I mean, was the effort there? Was it focus? What was the problem there?
I have no idea. You know, offense, you're going to get shut down sometimes. Right. You know, that's going to happen. But catch the ball. Just catch the ball. That's all we need to do. And I don't know what that is. They work every day. They do their stuff. It has to be they're just not fouling the ball in their glove. Miscommunication, it shouldn't happen at this level.
Will you speak to guys about this?
I always take care of stuff, Jimmy.
Yeah, that was Saturday night after the game. And he sure did speak to Gene Segura after it happened.
Yep.
And later on in the game, Segura had another error. So, you know, I mean, ultimately, you can speak to him all you want. Ain't going to make him a better player. So I think that's kind of where we are right now. With this team, Segura is not a great second baseman defensively. I mean, so who's their best defensive player on the team? Period.
Well, Jack, JT probably.
Okay, yeah, JT who's again he's got the re-aggravated wrist or the rib injury or the knee injury, whatever it is.
I mean, Segura was playing good defense until the last couple days.
Yeah, I'm good with Segura. I am. I know he can be frustrating. I know what his past has shown us. But at least for this year, he has been producing.
Yeah, he has, for sure.
So, I'm, you know, yesterday I didn't look at that as a huge ordeal. It actually shows a little bit of life down there in the clubhouse. Let's hope it's something that Segura improves and learns from. Joe Girardi, keep doing what you're doing. You needed to show that, in my opinion. And now we just got to keep it going. We just got to keep it going, man. You just got to stay on these guys about the smaller things and don't lose the clubhouse. There's still a lot of baseball left to go. Still 121 games left to be played. There's a lot of baseball left to be played, and they right now are sitting in second place, 1 game above 500, so the manager can't overreact. I like the way he handled it, even though it came off a little rude towards our good buddy Jim. Salisbury, but that's the way Joe needed to handle it. He needed to throw any more fuel on that fire. We all saw it. We all can surmise what we think happened. We don't need to know exactly what was said. We saw the animation there with Gene Segura. And Joe Girardi, the way he handled it, let you know that he wasn't all that happy about the situation. But at the same time, he knows, he sees the big picture here. He knows that was a moment between a player and a manager. Probably not a good look, but it was needed. And he's not going to add to it. He's not going to make it any worse than what it already is. And they should be able to move on from it. They got a day off today before they get ready to take on Miami, a team that they struggle with. And they got to figure out a way. It's back here at home, four-game series. Last time they had a four-game series, what happened?
I believe they won all four.
Yeah. So
bring out the brooms.
You know, maybe that's what it is. Listen, I don't know what the issue on the road versus home is. I don't know. All I know is I'm happy they're home.
Yeah, me too.
Right? They're home. They'll be home all week. Let's rack up as many wins as we can while we're trying to figure out what the hell the problem is on the road.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, as far as Girardi and Segura in the dugout, no problem with Girardi at all. In fact, I'm glad that he went up and said something, and I hope he ticked Segura off too. Mm-hmm. You know, get him some urgency, light a fire under his butt.
Yeah.
Get him going. All right, to the phone, Sean. Sean is in King of Prussia. Sean, how are you?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi, Sean.
Just wanted to say that I agree with the ever knowledgeable Jack Fritz. That I think that this team is glass half empty. I don't really know what the Phillies do. Like, I know they play baseball, but like none of these guys like do anything that like they don't do anything special. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Well, yeah, you got to be a special player to do something special. Other than Bryce Harper, how many other special players do they have on this team? They don't have anybody special. JT, maybe. Hey,
yeah, I mean,
special?
Even our ace isn't – like, Nola isn't, like – he's our ace, but he's not, like, your prototypical going-to-go-out-there-and-gas-10-dudes ace. Like, you know
is he
I mean?
Is he even the best starting pitcher on the team?
Probably not.
Right, I mean, listen, he's good.
Well, he's not the highest paid either.
Right.
So, I'm serious. I mean, we act like Aaron Nola is somehow making $25 million a year and is underperforming. The guy makes $12.5 million. And I'm not saying that's nothing, but I looked it up last week, and I think it's 20-something in rankings when it comes to starting pitching. So we want ace performance, but he's not being paid as if he's an ace. And when we say ace, we mean Cy Young caliber pitcher. We know he's not that, but who is? Who is on this team?
True. I was going to answer. Like, do you think this – so my question about Girardi would be, does this show more about the Phillies organization, or does this show more that, you know, if you manage the Yankees, you know, you're going to win 90 games. Like, the Yankees
yes.
are just going to go out and buy whatever they got to buy, and you're going to win 90-plus games. It don't really matter who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, Sean, thank you. Just look at the roster. Look at the roster that they have. And I've been as critical as anybody with Joe Girardi this year, but, like, the roster is what it is. I don't think Joe's necessarily done a great job, but like this team is what it is. This roster is what it is. They've also had injuries. And 40% of their starting rotation out before Velasquez got in, it has been terrible for the most part. Right? Like the starting pitching's been pretty good. The bullpen really hasn't been great. The everyday lineup has been mixed at best, right? Like this team is 21-20. They look like they're 21-20.
Yeah.
They do. They're mediocre. They're one game over 500. So at the end of the season, if they were 83-81, would you be surprised?
No.
No. Yeah, me neither. Let's go to our buddy Dan in Northeast Philly. Dan, how are you?
What's up, Johnny?
What's up?
What's up, Ike?
What's up, Dan?
I have to agree with you 100%. Ike, we're lucky to be sitting where we're sitting because, you know, baseball's a simple game. There's three things you got to do. You have to play defense, you have to pitch, and you have to hit with men on bases. And what one of them three are we good at? None?
None?
We can't catch fly balls in the outfield. I mean, Bamboo Miller's a joke in left field. I mean, come on. And then, I mean, Hector can't close. They got to put that, what's his name, Coonrod? What's his
Coonrod.
Coonrod.
Coonrod. Yeah. Coonrod's got to be
Hold
the
on,
closer.
What'd you call him? I like the name you called him. What'd you call him?
Coonrod. I don't know. I get confused. Like, I'm old. But besides that, there's two bright spots I see. Nick Maton. That kid, you don't have to have special players. You just have to have somebody that does his job, and that kid does his job. Mm-hmm. When everybody comes back, they got to find a spot for that kid to play. He deserves to play.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. At least he shouldn't.
I mean, some of these guys, I don't know how you get to the major league level and you don't know how to field the ball. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know. And Joe Girardi said it in that cut after Saturday night. He's got to catch the ball. I mean, it's not all that complicated. You just got to catch the ball.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know what's going on out there, whether it's a communication. You know, Segura's backing up on the ball. Was it last week or – yeah, I think it was last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago with Bryce and Odubel out there. Basically, let a ball drop in between them. I don't know what that situation is, who's in control there, but obviously someone needs to take control of the situation and call for the ball and then just make the catch. How difficult is that
for this team? And a lot more difficult.
Next
than,
question.
Yeah. And just for the record, after the game, no problem with any of that at all. Can we do a Girardi Howie remix where he says, "Let me tell you a story about
Let me
that.
Tell you the story about what happened there."
You can ask all you want. You got everything you're going to get about.
Joe said, "You can ask all you want."
Yep. He called him Jimmy. Yeah. I know you're just doing your job, Jimmy.
Well, Sirianni was talking about the major requirement of the position, catching the ball. Girardi's just saying the same thing.
Same thing. Yep.
Oh, man.
And in 3 minutes, we're gonna talk about the Eagles signing Ryan Kerrigan, formerly with the Washington football team, now with the Eagles. Our Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged, visit my friend Jim at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Support the home team. You will not regret it. Visit marks-jewelers.com. Schedule an appointment with a diamond expert. Should they have put Bryce Harper in the game yesterday? Yes or no?
Next question.
The answer's no. And that's what I said. Ike?
No.
No. Jack?
It was one of the most irresponsible things I've seen. Like, it's a game in May.
Yeah.
Like, what are you putting – like, honestly, like, I get Velasquez pitched on Friday, but just put him in right field. Like, you
let can't – let him roll the ball to the second baseman if you're worried about.
You can't risk Bryce missing more time by playing him. And all of a sudden he can swing in the ninth, but he's overextending himself and could get hurt then. Like, it's just – I thought it was really irresponsible, and I'm surprised they didn't get grilled more for it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, listen, because everybody was more concerned with the Segura stuff. But also, it's not as if Bryce – was forced to go out there, and he didn't want to, and he was upset about it.
No, he wasn't upset about it. So I think he understood the circumstances.
But you got to protect the player.
Right.
Whoa. It's baseball. It's not football. So it's not like he dove on the ground. He rolled the ball back into the infield.
That's not as intense as a wedge?
No, it's not. So it's not like Bryce's life was in danger by him playing. They had to put somebody out there, and he probably stepped up and was okay with it. I mean, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm saying it. Bryce probably was like, "Yeah, I got it."
I don't think Bryce is feeling like, "Man, I can't believe they did that to me." I think Bryce went out there because he realized they had nobody left.
Exactly,
Scott. I mean, did Scott Cameron, was it a diagnosed concussion?
Yeah, I think Girardi said today that he's gonna have to go on the IL with concussion.
Okay.
Oh wow, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't an Aaron Rowan flying to the fence. I guess he just hit it. He hit it the right way. Because I didn't even realize watching it real time that he had hit his head. It just looked like he kind of hit the wall a little bit. But yeah, so he goes out. I mean, what luck? What luck that on the day you don't have any extra players? Because what happened to Knapp? How does he get hurt a half hour before the game?
Oh, I tweaked something.
Next question.
And then you have the tying runners on base, and Bryce, an injured Bryce Harper is the up. Here comes Harper.
Yeah, he could have pinch hit for him.
He really thought he was about to have his Kirk Gibson moment.
Yes, he did.
He did.
I thought he was too.
He went up there and swung.
Yep. Oh man. All right, we'll get back to the Phillies calls in a second. But Ike, I didn't think the Eagles were done in free agency. I expected a couple of, you know, minor moves, and we're really looking for a corner. But if you can't get a corner, why not sign a defensive end to get to the quarterback? The Eagles signed Ryan Kerrigan to a one-year contract today.
Yes.
Listen, he had 5.5 sacks last year, 5.5 sacks the year before that. You know, and that's really kind of where he stopped being a double-digit sack guy. But certainly somebody that is that's always done well against the Eagles. So Lane Johnson should be happy that he's no longer on the football team.
Yeah, I mean, hell, we all know Ryan Kerrigan very well. He's always played well against the Eagles, in particular Lane. Good signing. Listen, it's a one-year deal. I'm pretty sure it didn't cost him a bunch of money. It's a veteran. They can get after the quarterback. Be interesting to see how they use him. He's been in a 3-4 a lot in his career.
Right.
More of a 3-4 outside linebacker that pass rushes a lot. So we'll see what he looks like in the 4-3. You put him in the 4-3. I mean, he's really just still getting after the quarterback. So, but it gives him depth. Now you're talking about him with Brandon and Derek Barnett and Josh Sweat and one other end. Who am I forgetting?
You have Brandon Graham, DB, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, Kerrigan, Ostman. Teron Jackson, Matt Leo.
Avery's technically a linebacker now.
Right. So he's no longer that. This is at least what Jeff McClain said. So they needed another rotational guy that could come in. In 2017, when the Eagles were good, Chris Long was a situational pass rusher that was very important to that defense. So you hope that Kerrigan can have that same kind of impact.
Yep.
So I think it's a great signing. It is, like you said, the risk is negligible. Who knows what he's got? He's getting $2 million with incentives, or maybe a little bit more than that. So he did have other teams that were interested in him. I think Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Steelers, some 3-4 defenses, were interested in bringing him in. But you know, he stays in the NFC East, and hopefully he can help with the pass rush. Certainly helps him out. Now let's get a corner.
Yeah, they're not done.
Hope not.
They're not done. Just waiting. You got to wait till these deals get done behind the scenes. These guys think they can finagle money, more money from other teams, and they're just sitting back waiting. If you know you're only getting a one-year deal, you may as well get the one-year deal worth as much money as you can or be in the right situation. So I'm not sure what his deal is, but he damn sure didn't come here to win a lot of football games this year. So maybe he just wants to play in the NFC East so he can play against Washington twice a year. Or maybe they offered him a better deal than somebody else did with incentives in it, you know?
I'm sure that was at least part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, money's certainly going to be a part of it. Yeah, like you said, like a guy that's in his 30s that's maybe trying to win a Super Bowl, he's certainly not coming to the right place for that this year, at least.
Coming here for that.
So he will play next season at 33.
Yeah.
Kerrigan, he had 5.5 sacks last year, 5.5 sacks the year before that. He played in every game. Last year, he only started in one. So, last year was a situational pass rush. So he's only missed 4 games in his career. Mm-hmm. So all his years, his entire career before this was with the Washington football team. Started and played in every game up until 2019, where he missed 4 games with an injury. And then last year, he was just, situational guy, like I said. So, good signing by the Eagles. Exciting.
Yeah, a rotational guy.
Yeah.
Derek Barnett's making $10 million. He's starting.
Yes. He's going to see the lion's share of the snaps. Yes.
Guaranteed $10 million. He's starting.
Yes. Indeed.
And Brandon is making $10 plus
million. Yes. Yeah. Yep. And, Brandon may shift inside to play some tackle if need be or whatever, but for the most part, yeah. Yeah. So they got
a rotational player.
Yeah. They have some guys that actually throw at defense.
The NASCAR package is back. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you need that. I don't know, because Hargrave is not great at pass rushing. So he comes off the field on third down.
Awesome.
You have to pull Hargrave off the field on third down.
Yeah. So Brandon slides inside next to Fletch. Put Kerrigan out there. It's all good. So Ryan Kerrigan is definitely one of those Philly killers, right? I mean, year after year. Jack, I saw you had on the sheet that his stats against the Eagles. I don't have them. But I know that he gave the Eagles fits for many, many years. But he's also one of these past their prime Philly killers, right? Like, it seems like we always get the guys that used to be good and are kind of in their last season or their second to last season, and they come to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So who would be the all pro Philly past their prime team? This is in more than just football. It could be in any of the sports. Maybe, Jack, that's a good question up for on Twitter or 215-592-9494 when you're calling in to talk about the Phillies or whatever else. 215-592-9494. The Philadelphia passed their prime team. Ryan Kerrigan is now on the roster as a longtime Philly killer. So we'll get to some of them coming up in a second. Let's go to Bob. Bob's in Bluebell. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Bob?
What's up, Bob?
So I'm talking about I wanted to talk about the Phillies. I'm not glass half full. I'm not glass half empty. They're pretty much right where I projected them to be. I try to be realistic. I had them at 86 and 76. So right now on pace for 83-79. If they won one more game, they'd be on pace for 87. You know, they're right where they are quality wise. I don't think they're worse than I don't think the record is worse than the quality of the team. Mm-hmm. I think the team is a hair above average. That's it.
Yeah. But,
I mean, listen, Bob, you're pretty much right. I mean, at least as far as how I see them as well. I kind of look at the roster, I look at the players, and I say, okay, I don't know what we expected from this team. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what we expected from them.
If I can, let me make one more point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, you talked about Spencer Howard, and one of the things that Girardi has done, and I'll agree that I think Girardi's made some mistakes this year, but one of the things that Girardi's done I think has flown under the radar. He's now got the fifth starter slotted in between Nola and Wheeler. So, in theory, you don't need the bullpen that much with Nola. In theory, you don't need the bullpen that much with Wheeler. If you bring in Howard and get four innings, and it's good four innings, I'm totally fine with that. Because we got four outs yesterday, and it was a crap four outs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay?
I didn't look at it that way, Bob. You think he did?
Or Matt Moore three innings.
I was going to say, you think he did that intentionally?
Oh, there's no question he did it intentionally.
Okay.
It's going that way for about, I want to say four rotations in a row now, something like that. He moved Nola up ahead of the five, which made it then.
Lining them up on the same days. Yeah.
I got you.
This is definitely a move that they're trying. Jack, how many pitches are they trying to, or how many innings are they trying to limit Spencer Howard to this year?
I think. Like 100? Four innings max.
But in general, right? Like how many?
Four innings max.
Yeah, well, because the idea heading into the year was he was going to be this bullpen guy that would give them like one or two innings and then move him around. But they realized he's not good coming in to a not clean inning. So they figured at least if we can start him, then we can manage his innings even if it's only four. You know?
So it's not a true opener, but it's better than bringing him in the middle of the fifth inning. He comes in and he gets blasted.
This kid was supposed to be a rotational pitcher, man.
You get there. He's got shoulder issues.
Awesome. A pitcher with shoulder issues. Like, awesome. Your top pitching prospect.
He's like, he'll get there.
Yeah.
One of these days, he'll get there.
Shoulder issues, man. Let's go to Dwight. Dwight's in Limerick, Pennsylvania. Dwight!
Hey, John, how are you?
What's up, brother? How are you?
What's up, Dwight?
So, I was listening to Joe DeCamer earlier, and
shut his hole.
Yeah. Just take it with a grain of salt with what I'm going to say to you. He said that he was ready to move on from Gene Segura with how he's been acting lately. Do you kind of agree with him?
His contract's pretty much untradeable besides that. Like, yeah, if I could trade Gene Segura right now, I would. But the problem is he's making $17 million in the next couple of years.
Oh, I didn't realize he was making that much money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, sure, if I could get out of Gene Segura's contract at $17 million for a second baseman, yes. But the fact is, he's been one of the more productive players this year.
What am I getting for Gene Segura? I'm just not going to give him away for nothing.
Right.
He's one of their better players.
Yes, this year he's been.
And do you think Dombrowski's shopping the market already for a fourth or fifth starting pitcher?
I mean,
or do you think Dwight,
the problem is that there aren't a lot of teams that, and we actually talked to Ruben Amaro Jr. about this a couple of weeks ago, where he said that it's not until teams aren't looking to move anybody until you start getting into June and July and you approach the trade deadline. Because, I mean, think about it. What team out there wants to give away pitching, starting pitching, right? Like, everybody wants starting pitching. So you would have to pay a premium price to get anybody right now. And I think that they're willing to wait It's not like that they're 5 or 10 games under 500. They're still a game over 500. See if you can internally figure it out, and then maybe they make a move at the trade deadline or so.
Yeah, hopefully. They need to get their act together.
Agreed. Did you have a past their prime Philly killer?
I was thinking Jamie Moyer.
Huh? Jamie Moyer? We got him when they were Philly passed their prime team.
Well, yeah. What team was he on? He was on Toronto.
Well, he was past his prime at like 31.
But he still pitched well. So like what we're talking about are guys
I'm talking about instead of Philly, like a nemesis, right?
Well, I guess it's not necessarily a nemesis, but like a player that we got past their prime in Philadelphia.
Okay. So not exactly like Kerrigan,
who was a Philly killer.
Rival. Okay, I got you.
But we're getting him past his last year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Moyer was still productive here. I think they let him in wins in 2008, led the team in wins in 2008.
Yeah, but still.
He was past his prime.
It's good that we get something out of them when they're past. I mean, we're hoping to get something out of Ryan Kerrigan this year.
Yes.
I'll take 5.5 sacks if he can give us that. I'll give you one of my buddies, very, very, very close friend of mine, Brian Mitchell. Got Brian Mitchell, B. Mitch, past his prime.
B. Mitch. Man, he was good early with the Redskins or the Washington football team. 215-592-9494. That's a good one. 215-592-9494. I feel like there's a lot of wide receivers that were here over the course of the 90s and the 2000s that were here that were past their prime.
Yeah, it's crazy. Chris Long gave him 5 sacks. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for, Chris Long. Yes.
Guy. Yes. 5 sacks, I'll take it.
So how many snaps a game is a Ryan Kerrigan or Chris Long like?
20.
At the most, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Playing mostly on third down.
Right.
Obvious passing situations.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
That'd work for me. 215-592-9494. On the other side, 76ers clinched the 1 seed. How do we feel about this team heading into the playoffs? And who are some Philly athletes that joined us past their primes? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.